Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's a privilege to be here today again to hear singing and hear and just brothers sharing their hearts. As Brother John shared that on the children's lesson, that was a blessing. Thank you, Brother John, for that. This is a song that I was blessed with this morning, and I don't know if I heard it before or not, but it's Awake, Arise with God. Yeah, I think I heard that before. But anyway, it spoke to me here as we sung that first verse. Rise, O Church of God, the crowning day is near. The Lord Jehovah, King of Kings, the Lord Jehovah and the King of Kings on earth will soon appear. It says, lift high the standard of your faith. Quit you like men, for Christ be strong. The reign of sin and death on earth will not continue long. It says, awake, arise, is near. And we can say amen to that, right? I mean, we know that, as he says that, the reign of sin and death on earth will not continue long. And we know that that day is coming when the Lord Jesus Christ appears from the heavens to deal with all the sin, the sinners, once and for all. Never again will there be another opportunity for men, once Jesus appears, to deal with their sin. So, I have a message here today. I don't know, I would want to say encourage the brothers in this life. Let me tie my shoe here quick. And also, it's going to challenge maybe a few as well here. And if it does, it's not condemnation. It's just to see where you're at in your life. And if you're lacking some of these things. If you're lacking some spiritual life, if you're lacking some things that God has intended for you, it's not too late. And I just want to go through here and just encourage and challenge and just to go on in this life. Just encourage us that we only have a few short years left. So the title, I don't know. I didn't really have a title for this yet, so I'll try to think of one here. As we go, I don't know, I was trying to put a title on it, but it didn't really fit with it. But anyway, I have on my paper, I did think about who are you. As I go through here, it's going to be talking on two different personalities and two different as a child of God, and maybe one that's living in sin. So, as I wrote, who are you, or we, I wrote. So, my encouragement here today, a challenge first of all, to each and every one of us, I'm going to share this because this was, I experienced this in my life times as well. Do we have a hunger for the Word of God this morning? I want to challenge you with that, just to start out with. As you woke up this morning, or just not this morning, each morning, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning. Thank you. Do you wake up with a longing to learn more of God? Do you wake up in the morning to desire to draw closer to God? A lot of times, you know, I say a lot of times we preach messages on things that maybe we as ourselves maybe struggled with or being challenged with. So that there, I can say that I write this because not all times in my life, there's periods of times that came and went where I didn't have the hunger of God. And I'll quickly say, just if there's not a hunger in us this morning, we are in dangerous ground. Because I remember being at that place where the hunger of God was not in my heart. And there was a coldness coming over my life where I was just being drawn away from God. So I trust this morning, that's what I'm saying, if there's not a hunger in your life, take the word of God. Hunger comes, we get a hunger. The hunger comes from reading and studying and knowing who Jesus Christ is and what he wants from you, what he wants for you in your life. Do we have a longing to sit and read God's word throughout the day, the week, and the year? You know, as our natural bodies, you know, we get hungry and thirsty. When our bodies go for a day or 2 days or 3 days without food, and we get hungry, and we do something about it. We go and we'll go get something to eat, feed it. Because it's screaming, and our spirit as well at them times do the same thing. God, you know, God is not in us one day, and we go through this cold, cooling, whatever. God doesn't withdraw; he doesn't jump from us, but he's dwelling within us. You know, we are the temple of the living God that he dwells within us. Through that time, when there's a drawing or that cooling happening, or that hunger's not there, God is saying, "Draw nigh, come, feed on my word." And I encourage that we would, you know, when our bodies scream for physical food, we get it. And when the Lord Jesus, when the Spirit speaks to us, let's not wait 1 or 2 days. Let's deal with it, because he wants us to be vibrant. He wants us to be full of the Spirit. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be, yes, full of the Word. Matthew 6, it says, "Blessed are ye that hunger and thirst after righteousness." These are Jesus' words, and he says that "Blessed are you that hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you shall be filled." If you desire, if you have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, blessed are ye. And this morning, if you're not hungry and thirsting, I encourage us to go to the Word and to search out the will of God for each and every one of us. He has a perfect plan. He has a plan. He has his will for us that he wants us to fulfill. Is the Word of God shaping you or us after the image of Christ? As we read the Word of God, is it shaping us more and more like Christ? Are we becoming little Christ this morning? As I heard people often say, are we becoming like little Christ? Are we becoming more and more like him? What is the word doing to us? Or is this a stale word? Or are we becoming, are we allowing the things of this life, things of this world, mold us, shape us? And I know I'm talking to the children of God in here this morning for the most part. And I was pondering later on as I wrote this, you know, why am I sharing on this? And I don't know. But anyway, I know that as we're as children of God, and the one thing I thought of, well, as children of God, I still need to be prompted, and I still need to be encouraged, I still need to be challenged in my life. So that's what I'm doing here, just challenging you. If you're where you need to be, praise God. If you're not, just take heed and find that true peace again that passes all understanding. Sally was sharing this morning. I appreciate that, Brother Sally, what you shared. So let's not allow the things of this life shape us, because it does. As we look around, we see people being shaped and molded after the things of this life, entertainment and the worldly things and whatever it may be. And it's not a pleasant sight when you look at these men that are walking around with all kinds of. I mean, they can't put another earring in, or can't place another tattoo in their body, and it's the devil being rampant. But let's. It's a beautiful thing when you see a man that you see the joy coming out of him, and you see the cleanness and the pureness of his heart coming forth, and his meekness and the mercifulness. And it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And as there, I was open to the Matthew 5, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are they which mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Then the verse that says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I can say, God has laid more of a burden on my heart than ever throughout the months and the last several months here, and if not 8 months here, just on the church, just on the church of God, the local church here as well. And especially after last week, the meetings there we had, or we had some minister meetings here, and just hearing testimonies of these elders saying that how many people are leaving the church. Just not going, just not leaving one church and going to another, but they're leaving Christ. They're leaving Christianity, and it's a sobering thing when you hear that. And some of them been walking for years and years, and all of a sudden it seemed like bitterness comes in their heart, and unforgiveness comes, and things like that. And if you don't deal with it, it'll destroy you. And that is what's happening with many people. And let's, God forbid, let's be a church here, as it says in Matthew, here, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savior, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. And what Jesus is saying here, if we can't be a church here that are being used for the kingdom of God, if we can't be a testimony here and going out and saving souls and being there for the hurting and for the needy and for them, for that cause, he says we are good for nothing. If we lose its flavor, if we lose its savor, and if we lose our testimony, if we lose Christ, we are good for nothing. It says, then he goes on, but he says, but ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth it light unto all that are in the house. Then verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men, that you may see their good works, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Is that our heart this morning, that we may let our light so shine that the people of this world, the darkness around us, they may see us, and they can see that light. They can see the love of God. They can see the love of the brethren in us, that it's shining so bright that it speaks. I mean, I remember seeing people that way, that just had a love. You just had a love in them, and it was just a bright light, and it was Jesus. And let's be that. Let's not be people that has some sin in our life where we're not able to experience that fullness of God in us. If we have sin or if we're cooling off in our life, we won't be a testimony for the people around us. So God forbid. So let's be that light. So shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Or are we filled with, as I shared, are we filled with envy and, you know, strife and jealousy, contention, as it says in Galatians 5? Now that's what I wrote on my title. Who are you? Are we full of that light and that testimony of love? Or do we have envy in us from a brother? Do we have strife in our hearts from one another? Is there jealousy in us from a brother, what a brother has, or whatever it may be? Or we have wrath? Galatians 5 talks about that. Or if we just have a dislike for a brother, it says that we are in danger of hellfire. God forbid. It's just to prod us on here this morning. In John 12, it says, you can turn there if you want. John 12, starting on verse 20. Most of you guys are familiar with that. Just in some verses to read and just to speak on a little bit. It says, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, who was at Bethsaida of Galilee, desiring him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man may be glorified, should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die,
it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it into life eternal. If a man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto you this hour. Father, glorify thy name. So as he starts out there and he says, and I know this gets spoken on a lot, but except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. It says, unless it brings forth fruits, you know, it's going to be good for nothing. It says here that if it's alone, if it doesn't, as you say, deny self or repent of your sins and call upon Jesus Christ, you're going to be alone. You are worthless. And Jesus says, it abideth alone, but if it die, if that kernel of wheat or corn go into the ground and sits in the ground and that thing needs to die, and there comes forth fruit coming forth from the ground. And it says, like our garden, I washed all them kernels of corn that we put in there this year, corn and beans and beets and all that stuff. And it's just a little dried up little pieces of thing, seeds. And as you put them in the ground, you cover them up. And a few weeks later, you see them, a beautiful little plant start coming out. It's bringing forth much fruit. And that is the heart of God, that we would be dead to ourselves, denying our flesh in all things. And am I where I want to be at in that? I know God is leading me a long ways, and I'm closer there than I have been, but he wants us dead to our own self, our own ideas, our own life. And as I said, it's not about us, it's about others. But when we're alone, it's a little stinky mess. Being dead. And I wrote here, are we alone or are we bringing much fruit? Are we bearing fruit? Do we esteem one higher than a self? Do we hear out our brothers? Or do we figure do we have it all figured out ourselves? In verse 25 it says, you know, if we love our life, we will lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it into life eternal. And I trust that we hate this life that we're in here, that we see beyond this life. Many people only see this life is the moment, just the moment. And that's why they are laying up all kinds of treasures in heaven, and you see just self sticking out all over. They don't see the life to come. And I trust that we see that we are here and we're temporal, and I know we do, but we are looking on to beyond this life, beyond this grave. A better life coming, as we sing a lot of those songs this morning, talks about the next life and how God, what the plan he has for us, and the joy that it's going to be there when we meet him on the other side. I trust that in verse 26 it says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And I trust that is where we're following our Lord Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and soul. Or are we trying to follow Jesus in our own way? Like millions and millions of people on this earth, they all want to go to heaven, but yet they will not follow the Lord Jesus. As we just shared that little clip there a week ago, so someone shared with me. You know, there's everybody talks about heaven, and I think that as I shared that on last Sunday about Matthew 7, there, I think that's where a lot of people are at. But anyway, this minister, he was preaching for 30 some years, and he went to the throne of God to meet with God. And God said, you know, look, he told Gabriel, look, see if his name is in the book of life. And Gabriel looked and said, no, it's not. And he said, but God, he said, I preached to you, I preached the word of God for 30 years, and I saved people and on and on and on, but
But the Lord says, you know, depart from me, your works of iniquity. And I believe that on Matthew 7, where it says that not everyone that saith the Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of the Father. And it showed some clips of this man. He was teaching a lot of the word of God, but yet he was not enforcing the commandments of God. Where divorce and remarriage, he justified that for that woman, and the woman come to judgment as well, and she was trying to say, God, well, he said it was okay, and God said, well, my word doesn't say it's okay. So many will say in that day, Lord, we have cast out devils and done many wonderful works and prophesied in thy name, then he will profess, I never knew you. But he that do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God. And that's that's where I want to be at in my life every day, that doing the will of the Father, doing the things that glorify God. You know, like that man there, you know, he wasn't giving up his adulterous life, the drunken life, or the entertainment life, or the bitterness, and on and on. There's one Peter here, it says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are upon their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. In one verse here it says, this is prophesied from Isaiah, I think, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. That's for the children of God. His eyes and his ears are open for anyone that confesses or that repents. But he says, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And I trust that that the Lord are hearing our cries this morning, that we are a part of the righteous. Okay, read 1 Peter 2 here, a few more verses. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Are we? I know that we are. It says, the title of it says, God's own people. It says, but let me read that verse again. I got a few more to read. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have now obtained mercy, but now have not obtained mercy, but now have. It says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that may be your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the King as the Supreme. The heading of this is Live as Servants of God. Verse 14, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is a thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you shall do well, you suffer for it, you take it patient. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us the example that you should follow his steps, who did no guile, neither with guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled not against when he suffered. He threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously.
who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live righteously, righteousness by whom stripes you are healed. For you are sheep gone astray, but now return unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. And just reading this here, it just blesses me. It says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I see that if we take that verse and just live that, just show forth that verse, what a blessing that would be. Could go on showing forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness in his marvelous light. Just not once a year, but if that's a daily thing in our life. Because he goes, then the next verse he goes on and says, which in times past were not a people, but we now are the people of God, which have not attained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. So let's live as Christ, as he came from heaven to earth. And we know all the agony he went through for us, so that we could have life. Let's not throw that under the table, what Christ has done. What a slap in the face that would be. But let's endorse what Christ wants for us each day. And he says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. And we know that it will destroy our bodies. And I trust that we are the servants of God here, not the servants of the flesh. As I wrote, who are we? The servants of God, or are we serving our flesh in this life? And I wrote about to help answer that. Just a few little thoughts here. Where are we at on that? Are we servants of God or not? And I wrote, do we have a burden for the lost, dying souls around us? And are we looking to help those that are in need around us? Where there's many needy people that are. Just physical needs. Are we serving our brothers? Or are we all about ourselves? It's all about our needs, making sure that all of our needs are met first. And if we have time, we'll go help someone. Or if we have money, we'll help them. I trust that we do have a burden for lost souls, as I shared around, for lost souls around us. And if not, I mean, that is one reason why Christ has called us out of darkness in his marvelous light. Well, he wants to be glorified and he wants to be praised from our lives. Yes. But as we are children of God, he wants us to extend forth that love that he extended to us and extend it to others and share the good news. How God wants to say give them eternal life as well. I trust that we don't get caught up or too busy, where we don't take time just to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the dying world around us. Because we have a wicked generation that's around us. And Jesus says in Matthew 6, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we seek the kingdom of God first in all things, we won't put the things of Christ last. Lay up not yourselves treasures up on earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where the thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore that eye be single, the whole body should be full of light. But if the eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is thy darkness? And no man can serve two masters, for ye either will hate the one and love the other. And that's to talk about the spirit or the flesh. If we love the things of this life, if we're caught up in that, it's going to be hard to serve Christ when we have the love of the things of this earth, things of this life. We won't be able to serve Christ as he wants to be served. Yes, there is things that we can do that we enjoy as families and all that, but talking about having a love greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubic into his stature? And why take ye thoughts for raiment? Consider the lilies of the fields, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of his field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall you eat, what shall you drink, whether shall you be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you need of all these things. The next verse, but seek you first the kingdom of God. And may that be our hearts, that we seek first the kingdom of God in all things. We wake up in the morning, yes, we might have a busy day, but if Christ is first in our life in the morning, if we take time and worship him and praise him and ask him to lead us throughout the day, it will be a much different day than getting up and facing the day, the busyness of day, without Christ. Or just facing the day without even taking time to seeking him and in prayer or whatever it may be. But let's seek first the kingdom. And I know it's talking about, you know, salvation and all that. But yeah, I refer in that to that we would seek him first each day. And I know it's talking about earlier in the life, but this is a godly principle I feel we can use here. And as we read through there, are we able to trust the Lord Jesus Christ with our life? Are we able to just lay our life into his hands and reach forth our hand and have him to lead us through each day? Or are we the one of those, as Sally says, you know, one of those that are always worrying? And yes, there's things to think about. There's things through schedule and all that. But there's a rest for the people of God. And I think God wants us to trust in him, and it says, you know, but without faith it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And God wants us there, we're be able to trust our lives into his hands, and knowing that the word of God, what he says, he will not change. He will continue leading us, as the scripture says. And yes, it can be a challenge sometimes as work slows down, or we don't have any work, or something happens where it's something breaks down and it's thousands and thousands of dollars and all that. But the Lord says that, cast your care upon me, because I do care for you. He doesn't want us to try to do these things on our own, because we're not made to carry these burdens, to carry these things through this life. He wants us to, first of all, being a child of God and being born again. That's the first thing that needs to happen. Then he wants us just to surrender our life to him in all aspects of in all things. Are we able to have him take our life and say, whatever you want me to be, or whatever you want me to go, I'll go, and whatever you want me to say, I'll say, and whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Are we able to, or are we at that point? Are we able to put ourselves there? Then, as I talked about trusting, and here I just want to share a little bit on the fear. Are we moved with fear? Are we moved with fear of God as the disciples were here in Acts 2? Do we have that proper fear of God in our lives? Or isn't there any fear in our life? And here in Acts 2 it says, and the fear that came up on every soul, and they just witnessed many great things here as the disciples were doing here, what power coming from God. And it says, the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And they all believed and were together and had all things in common. If you look at that, the fear here that motivated them to go forth. And it says, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house. And they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all men. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And here I see, as I talked about that before, I see this as a very important vital of a church. If we are to be a light, as I talked about, a testimony, a light that's on a hill, as oneness came from these people here. You know, they had this fear of God in them, and they had this love of God in them, where they went and it wasn't about themselves. They went and sold the things that they had, and they helped out those that had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and that was with oneness in the temple. And they did eat with gladness and singleness of heart and praising God. And it says, with that, it says the church was added on to daily. So I see that being very instrumental on reaching out to those people around us, just in this community. If they can see a church here that love one another without question. We know that is very unheard of, even in the community around us, where even in that community, let alone the churches around, people have their own agendas, own ideas, and they fight and they bicker. But here, when this year took place among the believers, it says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And I believe that that's a very important, a very vital part of a Christian life, that we are in one, walking forth with one mind. It is to serve Christ with all of our heart, with all of our soul and mind. And not get that entangled with, you know, as we walk in this life, how much money we can lay up, or how much possession we can gather, or how much we can make in a year, whatever it may be. But if we go forth with one thing in mind, as these disciples did, that was to glorify God and just to praise Him with all their heart. Is that our heart today? Is that our purpose in life? Is that our purpose today? Is that our heart today, just to bring glory to God? I mean, I trust that it is. But if not, let's make it our goal. Just one thing is to bring glory to God. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ, and acceptable to God, and approve them. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. It says, for meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eateth with offense. But the verse I was going to speak on is 17:18. For the kingdom of God is not about meat and drink. It's not about the things of this life, the kingdom of God. You know, this is Paul writing, but it's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ, and acceptable to God, and approve of him. And we know that the kingdom of God is not in word, as it says also in Corinthians. It's not in, the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. And we know that it's not just saying the right words; it's just not even looking right. But as we see that the churches around are saying, you listen to some of these messages from these other evangelists and all that. They say the right things. They talk about Christ and about being born again and all that stuff. But a lot of that, as you look over the congregation then, as you see some of this, and you see the immodesty that there. And to me, the church there is it's just a word. But here,
And the scripture says it's more than just having an understanding of the word, but it's in a power. Allowing the power of God to work in our lives. Allowing the power of God to transform us, to change us into His image. And that will not happen if we have we still have self within us. If we have self within us, Christ would not be able to transform us in His perfect image of Him. That's what He wants to do to each and every one of us, to transform us in His perfect image of Him, to be more Christ-like, to be more like Him. But it's being full of the Holy Spirit, full of life, filled with Jesus Christ, the love, the truth, in all things that points, you know, having that love of God, even you know, loving the truth, even in all things, even it points out some things in our life that as being Christians, as we walk on and we see some things as we read the Word of God, and we see some things in life, well, maybe this is not what God had intended, or maybe God is not pleased with this. Maybe I should check this out. We have a choice at that time, you know, to seek it out and see if it is the will of God for us in our life, or we can just try to justify it. But I trust that we love the truth so much that whatever God shows us in His Word, that it will change us, and we will repent or remove from what we're entangled with, or whatever it may be. Or we can try to justify things in our lives so that we can have or do. And we know that justifying things in our life, we see it brings death. And we see that around us all over in the community and people around us. They justify divorce and remarriage, and they justify head coverings, and they justify homosexuality. And these are so-called Christians. And 1 Corinthians 5 says, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Many are called, but few are chosen." As it says in Matthew, many will say to me that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not done this?" So I just a few things here. Yeah, I don't have a real long message, but it says, I just want to encourage us, brothers and sisters, that we would make our election and calling sure. And the scripture says there, I don't know where that was at, Ephesians, making our calling election sure. If we do these things, it says we will never fall. Think about that. Making our calling and election sure with God. And that is being connected to the vine of Christ, as it says in John. If we're not connected to the vine, or if a branch gets severed off of the vine, that branch goes down and it dies. It just has some corn that got knocked off or busted off, and just watching that top of that corn just wither away. And that will, in the same way, with a child of God, if we become disconnected to the vine, to the Word of God, and to have a burden a longing to read, and hunger and thirst for righteousness, a hunger and thirst for the Word. If we don't have that in our lives, I surely will say that if it's not taken care of, we will die. Because in short times in my life, as the busyness or cares or something happens, and all of a sudden you ask yourself, what is happening? What's happening in my life? Where did that come from? And you just reflect back and say, yes, I'm not in the Word like I was, and all that. Yeah, I know I'm still a child of God, but He wants us connected with that vine, that living Word of God, where it flows through life, where life comes through. Is that vine, when it's cut off, it'll die. So that is my heart, that we would press on. And we know that's the heart of God, that none would perish, but all come to repentance, all have eternal life. So let's continue on seeking the will of God and the will of God in our life. And as I said, there might be some in here, maybe that have never been born again. If you're in here and you've never been born again, and Jesus says in John 3 that unless you get born again, you will not see God. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then there's some here, maybe we are born again, but maybe we're dabbling in some sin. Maybe we're dabbling in some things that's not a heart of God. Whatever it may be, you name it. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's not forgiving one that hurt us, hurt me, or hurt you. Maybe it's lacking faith. Maybe it's spiritual pride, and et cetera. We can go on and on. But if them things are not dealt with as well,
we will not see God. I feel that it'll continue drawing you away from God to a point where your heart is so bitter. We see that. We see that in people and heard that of testimonies of people, how bitterness destroyed people that were once a church-going person. But we're not without hope. We have, as I shared before, we have hope beyond the grave today, and I trust that we are all looking for that precious that day that's coming when Jesus Christ brings his angels in to gather us. I'm looking for that next life as myself, and as I'm 45 years old, and I was pondering as I was sharing this message. And I know there's many in here that are 70, a couple in here that are 70, and some are over 80. But the Bible says the flowering age is 70, and you know some go on to be 80, and there's some over 80 in here. But as I was pondering, that, I'm 45. 25 years, I'll be 70. And I believe that as a whole, I don't even think the whole for America is even average is 70 years old. I think it's less than that. So just 25 years, if it's 70 years, I took that number, left. 45 years are gone. And fast as those 45 years went, it'll be here very soon. And let's not allow the love of the world to keep us from the kingdom of heaven. And we have a purpose in this life, and it is as children of God to bring glory and honor to our King of Kings. As we sung that song, he's a Jehovah, he's a King of Kings, and a Lord of Lords, to be used to enlarge the kingdom of heaven. Let's not forget, as a child of God, you are expected. You are expected, and we are expected to go forth and to share the good news. I mean, you can have your little family and in the house and have everything just great, perfect, but and be okay. You know, be okay. But God has a deeper plan. He wants you to go and show forth the things that you experience. Show to others, so others can also be set free from the bondage of sin and enter into the kingdom of God. May Jesus be our all in all, in all things, in this life. The one that give us life so we could live, so we could have eternal life. Just not life, but as the scripture says that we can have it abundantly. He wants us to be free from all bondages of sin. And I believe that, where we can experience that that beautiful joy in this life. And he says, my sheep, in John, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which give them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them from my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And Sally read this in here this morning, but I'm going to read it again. He goes, I let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And whether I know, whether I go, you know, and in the way you know. Then Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Then Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to Father but by me. And as Sally talked, shared a little bit on that this morning. There are billions and billions of people on this earth are trying another way, just as far as without Jesus. They're just trying to do Jehovah and all, Muhammad and all those other gods that they have. But we can look at the scriptures today and say, truly, we know that unless it's through Jesus Christ, they will not see God. They will not see God. They will not be reconciled with God. Even the Hindus, you know, like Sally's talking about. So that's one thing. But yet, let's not forget that the life that we have today, this morning, as children of God, it is truly only through the blood of Christ. He made it possible that every man could be reconciled back to God. And without Jesus, we have no life. And let's not forget Him. If we forget Him, we're going throughout the day, or throughout the week, or throughout the year. If we don't seek Him in the morning, or day after day after day, we are trying another way. And it is, it's through Jesus. He wants us to continue on seeking Him daily. That's where life is. But as we read that verse there in Matthew 7, there, where it says, "Lord," many are going to say, "Lord, Lord." But but I feel this is going to be the end result for many. It says that many are called, but few are chosen. Let me find it here. Let me read this passage here on that invitation there that Jesus. The parable of the marriage feast. May this not be us as we read through this. As he went, it says, Jesus answered and spake unto them again by the parables and said. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son." Now, as we read through there, just ponder some of these things here, what was taking place. "And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come." Then that's the verse that goes, that many are called, but few are chosen. "And again he sent forth other servants, and saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." And we know that God is calling 7 billion people today to this throne room that are alive. He's calling them. And we know that only a few of those people are going to accept the invitation. "But they made light of it, and they went their ways." Like, oh, come on. Jesus is the Son of God. They laugh at it. Oh, Christianity, there is no God. "They made light of it, and they went their ways, one to the farm, another to the merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully, and he slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth." He was angry. "And he sent forth his armies, and he destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then said he to the servants, The wedding is ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding were furnished and the guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in this wedding, coming hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." So brothers, as this man here that was there without the wedding garment, when God told him that you're not worthy, it says he was speechless. He had nothing to say. So let's not be found on that day without our wedding garment, without being fully prepared to meet that Lord on that day, because He is coming. And when I say many, there's a few. Many are called, but few are chosen. And according to Revelations, I know that the heaven is there's a. According to Revelation, there are billions and billions of people there. But when they're going back to the numbers of all the people that were called, it's still a few people. As it says, that there's thousands. John saw thousands and thousands times thousands and thousands. You know, that's billions of people there. But let's make sure that we're in part of that number. And as I shared before, so let's not allow that garment to be taken off. And, you know, as children of God begin their life in a journey. The garment can be taken off just coolness of life by the cares of this life, or allowing bitterness in your life, not taking care of it from one another, or just the love of money or the love of possessions and all that stuff. It will draw you away and it will remove your garment. So let's not be found on that day without the wedding garment on. And that's my encouragement for us today, that we can walk forth and someday hear those wonderful words where Jesus says, "Well done, my faithful servant, come on in." And the most beautiful words that you ever hear. So if I did say anything that I shouldn't have said or that wasn't right, I encourage you to speak to me and let me know. God, thank you and God bless.